It just occurred to me that I missed a prayer request. Lord Jesus, as I open this message today, I pray that you watch over this congregation in front of this congregation. Watch over Warren as he has had his heart attack, and just watch over this church. Lord, help me to speak your word clearly through this message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so I'm back. You guys wanted me back, so I painstakingly prepared a 4-hour-long message. You guys don't have anything going on. It's not like there's a Packer game or something. All right. My message today is one I felt the Lord leading me to preach on, and kind of goes along with my first one, the armor of God. Today's message will be wrestling with God. So, you might be asking yourself, wrestling with God. We're not supposed to fight God. He's God. He'll win. Well, I may and may not literally mean wrestling. It depends on who you are and how you wrestle with God. But what I'm referring to is how the reactions we have, the struggles we go through when we go through trials. And I want to talk about the four views. I remember sitting down with Dr. Books at Northland, and we talked about this, and I just felt God calling me that next time I preach, I need to preach on this. So we tend to have four views when we go through a trial. Why is God doing this to me? Does he hate me? Is God punishing me for a sin I have committed? Is God preparing me to be used in the future? Is God teaching me a spiritual lesson so that he can use me as his instrument? And the fourth one I'm not actually going to say right now. I want you thinking of it. The reason why is the fourth one is actually a reaction I didn't have until I talked to my professor at Northland. And very few people do. So I kind of want to make that the focus. But let's start with the first three. In 1 John 4, 7 through 8, we know that God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So we know right away that God is love. And we see that all over, everywhere in the Bible, God is love. So that first reaction, that's kind of like an angry reaction. So we can kind of write that one off as that's just us being human. The second reaction is, is he punishing me for something? This is something we've been struggling with since first century Palestine, when in John 9, 1-3, we see the disciples asking Jesus. As they passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. So even our second reaction, we see, you know, God doesn't punish us for our sins. I don't have a slide for this one, but Psalms 103 verse 10, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor repays us according to our iniquities. God, you know, yes, there's consequences to sin. That might be part of our trial we're going through. But we know it is not God specifically getting angry with us. And that goes back to God is love. So let's talk about our third reaction. And I've heard sermon upon sermon upon sermon on this. Is God preparing me for the future? Is God preparing me for an event that He'll use me for later? And especially as a young Christian growing up, whenever something happened, I viewed it as, okay, this is God preparing me for the future because He's going to use me for the straight purpose. One particular time was my first truck. And for those of you who know the story, I owned a Chevy pickup truck for a whole 8 days. It didn't even make it back to Wisconsin. We bought it in Texas, and it burned up a few days after Christmas. So, and I remember feeling absolutely devastated as a young 16-year-old. I worked so hard at my dad's store trying to earn money for that, and I was just devastated. But I just remember thinking, I'm not going to blame God for this. He's preparing me for something. This is not His fault. This is just because it's a sinful world. And I remember feeling that even back when I was young and getting my driver's license. So what is this fourth way we're talking about? The fourth way is, how can my suffering bring glory to God? In my pain, can I still thank God and worship Him? And Dr. Book said this to me, and I stepped back and thought, wow, that's pretty much what the Bible does tell you to do, but I don't think I've ever had that reaction. that's never really how I view my trials, is how can I give God the glory? And the big passage I want to look at here is Genesis 32. It is page 48 in your pew Bible. And Jacob went on his way, and the angel of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of that place Mahanaimah. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, instructing them, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned in the land of Labian and stayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants, and female servants. I have sent to tell my lord in order that I might find favor in your sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We come to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and there are 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided his people who were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, the two camps, thinking, if Esau comes to one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape. And Jacob said, "O Lord my God, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord who sent me, who said to me, return to your country and your kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of the steadfast love and of all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed the Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mother with my children. But you said, I will surely do good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude." So he stayed there that night, And from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother, 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their calves, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 12 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. These he handed over to his servant, every drove by itself, and he said to his servant, "Pass on ahead of me, and put a space between the drove and the drove." And he instructed the first, "When Esau, my brother, meets you and asks, 'To whom do you belong? Where are you going? And whose are these ahead of you?' Then you shall say, 'They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a present sent to my lord Esau, and moreover, he is behind us.'" He likewise instructed the second, and then the third, and all who followed the drove. "You shall say the same thing to Esau when you find him. And you shall say, 'Moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us.' For he thought, 'I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me, and afterwards I shall see his face, and perhaps he will accept me.' So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed the night at the camp. The same night he arose and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 children, and crossed the fjord of the Jordan. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else he had, and Jacob was alone. And a man wrestled with him until breaking of day, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob. He touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day has broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob said to him, 'Please.' And Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.' The sun rose upon him, and he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the suin of the thigh that is in the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the suin of the thigh." All right. So I want to, it's a lot to take, and I know I read the entire chapter, but I want to look at the background information for Jacob. Jacob does not have a lot of good things going for him. If you recall earlier in Genesis, he stole his brother's birthright. His brother Esau vowed to kill him. He ran from his brother, got married. Now his father-in-law is angry with him because his father-in-law is a no-good person trying to cheat him out of everything, yet the Lord keeps blessing him. So now his father-in-law is chasing him with his army, and now he's trapped between two armies. And the only good news he has to go on is the Lord said, "I will bless you if you return." Oh boy, I would be shaking. That would not be fun. On top of this, he is so freaked out that he's sending everything he has in like little groups, present by present. He's like trying to soften Esau with kindness. "Ooh, I'll send him donkeys. That's not enough donkeys. I'll send him more donkeys. Maybe a few more. So there's nothing left." And then he even sends his wife and his children ahead of him. He's scared. He is freaking out right now. If there's ever been a point in your life where you are in a trial, this is it. And on top of that, now his hip's out of place, just to add the icing on the cake. So he probably felt a little bit like this. This is probably how he felt right now. He has an army of 400 men in front of him, his father-in-law behind him. It's not a good... He's wrestling with God right now, physically and metaphorically. So, what can we learn with this? So with my first sermon on the armor of God, I told you guys how Roman armor worked. And that was the armor that Paul would have been writing about. I decided to try and do the same thing here, except I don't know anything about wrestling. I don't even watch it on TV. I'm sorry. However, I know wrestling is a very popular sport in high schools, so I looked up some quotes from high school coaches and famous wrestling quotes to see what I could learn from there. This first one from Dan Gable. A lot of my intensity in wrestling was due to my mental preparation before the match. I got myself into a different world. Okay, so wrestlers have to prepare themselves. Okay, that kind of goes along with the armor of God. I will never stop fighting till the fight is done. Never, said Coach Hickel? As far as wrestling goes, as long as my body is able to withstand the physical beating, I will keep wrestling. Said Stratus. This next one's my favorite. Training is like wrestling a gorilla. You don't quit when you're tired, you quit when the gorilla's tired. Never confuse a single defeat with a final defeat. Okay, so never back down. I'm seeing a theme here. This isn't a quote, it's just an inspirational poster I found. Being challenged in life is inevitable. Being defeated is optional. That one goes very well with this passage. And the final one is actually not from anyone who did anything with wrestling, but from a man I know as C.S. Lewis. God, who foresaw your tribulation, especially armed you to go through it, not without pain, but without stain, so we can get through our tribulations. Okay, so what does this all mean? What does this all mean? And when I'm reading these, I'm like, these sound familiar. Where do these sound familiar? I think I've read this in my Bible somewhere. So if we turn to Job, or I'm sorry, not Job, James. It is page 1839 in your pew Bibles. And I remember when I worked camp at Northland, one of the speakers got up. I don't remember his name. But he said, turn to James and read the first 8 verses. This is all you need to know to get through life. So, we got 4 points here in James. Verse 2. Count it all as joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Okay, it kind of goes with the wrestlers. They get back in the ring. They planned on it. They didn't wake up and go, oh, shoot. Who's that? Why am I in the ring? You know, count it all as joy. Have a good heart. You know. Verse 4 says, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I don't like this one, because I struggle with it the most. Be steadfast. Endure the trial. Oh! I don't like that. Why can't I just leave early, God? You know, why can't I take the easy way out? Why can't I take the easy way out of all my exams and my tests? But no, the Bible says, endure it. It will end. There is an ending point. You just got to make it through it. A wise person once told me is you can't eat the whole cow at once. You can only eat it one steak at a time. And number 3, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God to give generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Okay, so you're struggling. Talk to God. Ask God. He listens. He knows. He knows what you're going through. You know, everything in life, the Bible, the trials, is to point you back to God. People often ask me, why do bad things happen in the world? Why can't I have a perfect life? And the way I look at that is just look at the world around you. Look at movie stars who have loads of cash. Yeah, they're living real perfect lives. You know, so perfectness does not help you. It's kind of like working out. When you work out, you tear up your muscles. The more weight you lift, the more tears your muscles take. But then you eat a big protein-rich meal, and the proteins fill in the gaps in the muscle, making the muscle stronger. You know, you can ask for wisdom. And then, finally, we have ask in faith. With no doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Guys, have faith. God will answer your prayer. You just have to ask. That brings me to my final point. And that is the part, just turn the page, in Genesis 32. Jacob is enduring the trial. He is enduring it. He is wrestling with them. Even to the point where the guy he's wrestling with says, give up already, it's day. I'm sick of wrestling with you. And he holds on and says, no, not until I get my blessing. Guys, when we wrestle with God, when we're enduring the trials, hold on. Hold on. It's like that quote from the one man who said, as long as my body can take withstand the physical beating, I will keep wrestling. You know, hold on until you get the blessing. God blesses you each and every day. And in every single trial, no matter how bleak it looks, there is a blessing in it. Do I know what that blessing is? No. I'm sorry, I don't. But there is one in there. And there's not one trial in my life that I've gone through that I can look back and say, nope, there wasn't any blessing in it at all. There's always a blessing. So hold on. Hold on until you get that blessing. This is the hard part. I felt convicted to preach this message around New Year's. I don't know why, but as my professor, Dr. Brown at Northam, put it, the Word of God, when it's working in you, when He has a plan for you, it will feel like claws digging into you that do not let go. Every waking moment you will think of it, and that is how you know God wants you to do it. And I felt that way about this sermon. So I asked Bill, and he said I could. But even this last week I had doubts. This is kind of a sad sermon, you know. People don't need to hear this. Maybe I'll come up with a happy one, you know, one where everyone feels good at the end. Hopefully that is this one. You can feel empowered that God will bless you. Wrestling with God can be a blessing. And I was assured that this is the right message to preach last Wednesday. I had woken up early to go to breakfast. I had a test that morning, so I woke up extra early to study. And I was waiting for the dining hall to open, and there was a woman who I didn't recognize waiting in the lobby. This isn't uncommon at Northland. We have many visitors come by for various things. I figured maybe her son was looking at the campus, and they were visiting. So like a good host, I approached her, introduced myself. She introduced herself. And I asked her what I look back now and realize was the dumbest question I could have asked her. What brings you to Northland? To which she broke out in tears and cried, my house burned down last night. With my little girl, who's only about this big in size.
And as she embraced me and she cried on my shoulder, I was at a loss and did not know what to do or say. And right there, any doubt in my mind was wiped away. God wanted me to preach on this. Guys, you know, it's like Pastor said last week. You know, the end is coming. Revelations will be fulfilled. The world's going downhill. I'm not saying this to worry you or make you feel sorry or scared or anxious about the future, but to empower you to have faith in God when we face new trials this year. Just the other day, my good friend Tony approached me, saying, "My grandpa, who I grew up with, has just passed away. And like Billy, who just came up here and sang that song, this is the 5-year anniversary of her grandfather passing away. Guys, we'll face trials. But there's hope. And we can give God the blessing that He deserves through our trials. We can bless God through our trials. And the person I think of this the most, the person I thought of immediately when Dr. Buck said that we should give God the blessing even in our worst trials, I thought of Almeda. Even though she was facing cancer, she always told stories about how the nurses had asked her about Christ because she saw the joy in Almeda's life. So guys, I'm going to pray and close up. I'm going to have a video play. It is Casting Crowns, I'll Pray Through the Storm. I'm not a good singer, but I'd like you all to stand with me and sing it with me tonight as we go. Empowered that no matter what wrestling match we face, no matter what trials Satan puts before us, no matter what events happen, we can give God the blessing. Lord Jesus, watch over us all. Let us be empowered, not discouraged, at your words that I've spoken today. Lord, watch over us and give us wisdom. Let us remember to ask for wisdom like you say in Job. Sorry, James. Help us to remember to ask for it and be steadfast through all our trials. I think of my mother who's facing Lyme disease. Lord, empower us through our trials. Empower all of us, this congregation, this body of believers who comes and worships you each and every Sunday and every day of the week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing. I remember when I'm holding the wind. raise me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? The thunder rolls, I barely hear. Whisper through the rain, I'm with you. As your mercy falls, raise my hand, praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you in the storm, and I'll raise my hand. You are who you are, no matter where I am. If here I cry, you hold in your hand. Never left my side, though my heart is torn. You're in the storm. Where does my help come from? Help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I'll praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. Every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. Never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in the storm. My heart is torn. Praise you in the storm.
Thank you all for coming. I forgot a microphone. How's it going? Have a great Sunday. Thank you. Have a good one. Have a great Sunday. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
Good job,
Sunday.
Thank you.
I'm just
walking on you. Have a good one. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Have a good one, guys.
Oh, okay.
Hey, enjoy
yeah.
the game tonight.
Yes. Thank you.
Nope.
Oops, I got a.
You're welcome. I got to pause the recording, I just realized.